We ask that your Holy Spirit will come in and fill all of us here as I present this message. And we ask that you will open our eyes and our minds and our ears to hear what you want us to hear, Lord. And we thank you so much for this Sabbath day. Amen. Good morning. Happy Sabbath.
Morning.
I'm so thankful that everybody's here today. It's a blessing. And for Don back there, the sermon title is Practice Hospitality.
Thank you.
Looking again at the first church, another aspect that made them so effective was that they practiced hospitality. It is more than sharing lemonades and cookies. How many of us like to share lemonades and cookies? It's fun. But is that hospitality? Let's find out. Let's read Acts 2:43-47. What did I say? 43. And awe come upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, and as to all as any had needs. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. You know, I read that as I was looking for something to read up here or teach or, you know, and I thought about, you know, are we to, in today's society, I know that was back then, are we to sell everything we have? I mean, I'm going to the extreme here. Everything we have to give to the needy and the poor? Can we look at it in today's, is there things that we have, that we've purchased, that we've bought, that just sit around our house that we don't use? Couldn't they be sold and given to the needy or the poor or to the church or to charities? Instead of, you know, I was thinking about this. I thought, man, there's some things I have that I kind of hold on to that, okay, you know, maybe I need to get rid of. So if we look at this verse, Let's consider that, you know, there is some things in our life. Doesn't mean that, I don't think it means that we need to give everything away, but let's find out maybe some things we don't need. But also, let's look at the hospitality of how we treat people. And it's just not money, it's how, and I like how it says here, how they, I gotta find it here, sorry. And all who believed were together and all had and had all things in common. What did they have in common? Christ's character, Christ's mind. They were all working as one goal, one common thing, not this or this, but it was as one thing. And then let's turn to Romans 12. Don?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We're just letting you know. Romans 12, a living sacrifice. I'm going to read a little bit here. The effective church practiced hospitality in Romans 12. Paul commends the Romans Christian to practice hospitality. Yet, what is that exactly, and how do we practice hospitality? Do we? Let's look at it, a living sacrifice. I'm just going to kind of go through this because it's kind of long, and we're... I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. So, don't be conformed to this world. So what does that mean? What's this world about? Is it selfish, self-centeredness, not giving, not being polite, not being courteous, not being respectful? That's of this world. But Christ's character, be a living sacrifice and worship Christ. That means be polite. Even though people may irritate us, they may whatever, be hospitality to them, or hospitable. And, you know, and the gifts, let's go on down, the gifts of grace. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So that says that each of us have a little different, we can be individuals. Maybe Rose, I don't know what you like to do, what's your pastime, but let's just say you like doing flowers. You know, you can do stuff in the church, or you can do gardening or whatever. You know, Ron, he may be a mechanic. May like to, you know, we can find somebody that, you know, he could go help somebody do it. Larry, splitting wood, delivering it. Mark, he's a OC at cleaning things. You could go organize the church or organize people's houses, you know. That's what God created us, all individually. And, you know, it also says, going down to verse 8, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. You know, no matter what happens in our life, be cheerful about it. Praise God for it. No matter what the crisis is, if somebody, you know, it's like, one guy, when I was listening to and I thought about it and reading about crises in our lives and stuff, we need to have a plan for them. We need to plan on, what if your spouse dies? What if, you know, this happens? Or, you know, say there's no more money. How are you going to live? How are you going to survive? We need to have things, but yet trust in God, because He will provide all things.
Amen.
And then, down it says, the marks of a true Christian, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulations. Right there. Be patient in it. Be content in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Neither be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Impossible, if possible, so fear far as it depends on you. Live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will pay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, that's so beautiful. That I just love that last one. I love them all. It tells us how we're to live our life and be hospitable to people and have hospitality in our life. And you know, I just want to see all of us, this church, that's a, you know, let's just love each other. That's all we can do. Anyway, open our homes to take in strangers. Uh-oh, I stapled it. Sorry, people. Thank you for being patient with me up here. Number two, and this kind of read through a lot of this in the sermon and stuff. Do not work to meet, let's see, number two, do we work to meet the needs in the lives of strangers? I knew the hospitality is mentioned several times in the New Testament, and it was a subject to which I had never given much thought. Yet I was grateful that other folks at church on the hospitality committee stir the lemonade and put the cookies out every Sabbath. Perhaps I could put some theology behind the lemonade and cookies. The English dictionary defines hospitality as the friendly treatment of guests or strangers as an act or show of welcome. That's not too far from how the New Testament Greek word philoexiana breaks down love of strangers. Lemonade and cookies invite strangers to stay. A snack committee communicates the communicates to newcomers, "You are welcome here. Great. This was going to be an easy sermon." However, the more we research it, the more we are going to see the hospitality is more than lemonades and cookies. Romans 12:13, which we read, says, "Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." So how do we do this? And I intend to show you by using two stories. First story, meet Ruth, a typical housewife in a typical town in the U.S. Ruth, one morning, receives a letter, a very simple letter. It is from Jesus, and it says, "I am going to be in the neighborhood tomorrow, and I would like to visit you." Ruth thought, "Why would the Lord want to visit me? I am nobody special. I do not have anything special to offer. And even my pantry is bare." All she had in her purse was $5.40. "Maybe I can get a loaf of bread and some cold cuts." Interlude. Paul told Timothy that elders were to be hospitable. Even the older women were to teach the younger to be hospitable. Story two. The second story is about a man named Artaban. He is more famous, known as the fourth or other wise man. Think about this now. Artaban is watchful, for the sights of the coming of the King of the Jews. When he sees the sign, he gathers up his three prizes. Possessions to give to the King of the Jews, a sapphire, a ruby, and an exquisite pearl. As he races against time to meet up with the other three wise men, he was delayed and missed them at the meeting point. His horse was not ready to make the trip through the desert, so he used the sapphire to buy camels and provisions to go to meet the newborn king. Upon his arrival in Jerusalem, he is told that companions similar to him had just made their way to Bethlehem. As he arrived in Bethlehem, he found soldiers were murdering mothers and children. He entered the house to get out of the way. In the house, he met a young mother and her infant son. Who do you think that is? He stood in the doorway, blocking it with his broad shoulders. As a Roman captain came to the door, Artaban offered the captain a ruby to leave the house in peace. The captain took the ruby and ordered the soldiers to march on. Artaban was depressed. Two of his gifts were gone, and he had only one more, the pearl. So he hid the pearl in his purse and held it close to his chest or heart. Interlude. The early church practiced hospitality in Acts 2:43-47. We see they shared everything and met from house to house. They used what they had so that others could have as well. This goes far beyond lemonade and cookies. Story 1 continues. Ruth went to the local store to get some provisions for her meeting with Jesus. She picked up a loaf of French bread and a half pound of turkey and a half a gallon of milk. This left Ruth with a grand total of 12 cents. Until Monday, nevertheless, she felt good as she headed home with her meager offering tucked under her arm. Second story. Artaban spent 30 years trying to find Jesus. During his journey, he came across a leopard colony. He saw the sick, the suffering, and the dying. He had a vast medical knowledge. He told his servant to sell the camels and get provisions so he could take care of these people. He spent almost 30 years there taking care of the sick, the blind, and the lame. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels. Knowing it. 3. Remember those in prison. If you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you were suffering. This was Hebrew 12:1-2. Artaban's life was spent. He, too, was getting sick. One day, one of his patients, a boy who had been born blind and another man who had been born crippled, came to the camp. Only now the boy could see and the man could walk. They told Artaban about how Jesus had healed them with a touch of his or the power of his words. They told Artaban about how Jesus of Nazareth had raised a man from the dead. Artaban and his servant were certain Jesus is the King of the Jews. They were searching for and set out for Jerusalem to see him. However, when they arrived in Jerusalem, the city was in turmoil. Jesus had been arrested and tried. They were now about to lead him to Calvary. Artaban approached the gate. A Roman guard stopped him. Artaban reached into his purse and took out the pearl. He offered to the guard as a ransom for Jesus. The guard took the pearl and let Artaban through. But by the time Artaban reached Calvary, Jesus spoke his last. "It is finished." Artaban fell to ground. His servant helped him to his feet and took him to a room to rest. Interlude, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-control so that you can pray. Verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin. Verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Faithful administrating God's grace in its various forms. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power and forever. Amen. Are you yet convinced that hospitality is more than lemonade and cookies? I think so. I think very much so. Okay, conclusion to story one. Sir, wait, said Ruth. Couple stopped as she ran down the alley. Here, let's see. Uh-oh, did I get messed up here? Okay, sorry. Story one. Ruth... Don't want to read that yet, sorry. Ruth was heading home. So absorbed by her meeting with Jesus that she had not noticed two figures huddling in the alleyway. A man and a woman dressed in rags. "Look, lady," said this man, "I ain't got a job, and my wife and I have been on the street, and well, it's getting cold, and we're kind of hungry. Could you help us? We would really appreciate it." Ruth looked at both of them. They were dirty. They smelled bad. And frankly, she was certain that they could do some kind of work if they wanted to. "Sir, I'd like to help, but all I have is a loaf of bread and some cold cuts, and I am having a very important guest for dinner tonight." The man said, "Well, okay, lady, thanks again." The man put his arm around his wife and headed down the alley. Okay. "Sir," Ruth said, the couple stopped as she ran down the alley. "Here, take this. I'll figure something else out for my guest, which is Jesus." She handed them the bag. "Thank you, lady." "Yes, thank you very much," the man's wife said. Ruth could see she was shivering from the cold. "You know," said Ruth, "Let's see. Have another coat at home. Why don't you take this one? And Ruth took off her coat and placed it on the woman's shoulders. Then, smiling without her coat or anything to serve her guests, she walked home. Ruth was chilled by the time she reached her door. She was worried, too. The Lord was coming, and she had nothing left to offer him. She fumbled through her purse for her keys. She noticed another letter in her mailbox. She took it out and read it. Dear Ruth, it was so good to see you again. Thank you It was good to see you again. Thank you for the lovely meal. And thank you for the coat. Love, Jesus. Isn't that the way it is sometimes? Sometimes we want to think selfish. Why can't somebody else get a job? But maybe they can't at that point. But they need that coat, that food, that meat. Now let's finish the second story here. My paperwork got messed up. Second story. 3 days later, Arbaban and his servant were making their way through Jerusalem back to the camp. Arbaban rested on a rock. Suddenly, Jesus appeared. Arbaban said, "Master, I have been searching for you for a long time. I had special gifts to give you, but now they are gone. I had to use them. I am sorry, Master. I have nothing to give you." Jesus replied, "I have received all your gifts, Arbaban." Arbaban asked, "How, Master? How did not you see in the city or at the colony or in Jerusalem? How did you receive my gifts?" Jesus replied, "Arbaban, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me." Arbaban then knew his gifts were received. Whatever you did this for the least of those, my brother, you did it for me. It is more than lemonades and cookies. It is meeting needs as we can, when we can, and leave the results to God. You know, it's hard because sometimes we don't think the little things we do, or somebody comes to church, we don't know how they feel, what they're thinking, what's going on in their life. And it's important, you know, maybe ask them, "How's your day? Can we pray for you? What's going on?" That's hospitality. You know, sometimes, you know, we could have lemonades and cookies or coffee or donuts or a little snack for people to come in. That's great. That's how we get to know people. That's how we can talk to them. And that's important, is communicate. And that's how we love people. And that's how Jesus loved people. He healed them. We maybe can't heal them, but we can say a kind word. And that's all that it takes. And we'll close at that. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your blessings and everything you do for us, Lord. Thank you so much. Put angels around us as we all leave and go our separate ways, and as we're traveling on the roads. We just ask that you will be with us and protect us. And like it says in Psalms 91, Lord, keep us safe. Keep us from everything, Lord. We just put our whole soul and our life and everything in your hand. In your precious name, amen. Somewhere.